Hello, and welcome to the Journal of Accountancy podcast. I'm Courtney Vian, a senior editor with the Journal of Accountancy. As I'm sure you know, emerging technologies like data analytics are rapidly changing the way accounting is performed. To make sure the CPA exam is ready to reflect those changes, this year the AICPA conducted what's known as a practice analysis. The examinations team met with firms to see what they now need newly licensed CPAs to be able to know and do. Here to tell us about it is Rich Gallagher, Senior Director of Content for the AICPA examinations team. But first, please listen to this message from our sponsor.
Running a business is rarely simple, but earning rewards can be. With the Chase Inc. Business Unlimited card, earn unlimited 1.5% cash back on every purchase for whatever your business needs. Restrictions and limitations apply. Offer subject to change. Cards are issued by JPMorgan Chase Bank and a member FDIC.
Hello, Rich.
Good morning, Courtney. How are you?
I'm doing great, thanks. So tell me, it feels like we just made some big changes to the CPA exam. Is there a reason why we're changing it again so soon?
You are correct in thinking that, Courtney. We completed our last practice analysis in 2016, and the changes from that practice analysis rolled out on April 1st of 2017 was when they were reflected in the exam. But just in that short period of time, there's been so much rollout and news about how technology is impacting, you know, work in, you know, just about every kind of industry and business. And so what we're trying to figure out is what is the impact of those technology changes on newly licensed CPA practice.
How often do we usually do practice analyses?
Normally we would do one every 7 years. So you can see that we've moved into this, you know, much more quickly than we normally would have. And we started thinking about this probably, you know, maybe last fall. So maybe about a year ago, we started thinking about it and we talked internally amongst the staff at the exams team and brought it up to our Board of Examiners, which is the oversight group that looks at the work we do to ensure we're maintaining the exam the way it should be. And they agreed, and we kicked off the practice analysis in earnest probably in March of this year.
Can you walk me through what a practice analysis is?
Sure. So a practice analysis, I would say, is a systematic review. It's a research study to understand what's changed in newly licensed practice. And so the CPA exam, if you will, is the gateway to getting a CPA license. And it's one of several pillars. But the practice analysis focuses on what's important, what is the work of newly licensed CPAs, and we focus, you know, particularly on in terms of protecting the public interest, because that's why licenses are issued. That is what we do. We've done some preliminary work ourselves in looking at literature, but then we also retained a consulting firm, company by the name of the American Institute for Research, which is based in Washington, D.C., and they are assisting us in conducting the overall project.
Tell me more about what you do in terms of this research.
So we kicked this off, as I said, back in March, and the first thing we did was meet with firms. And our meetings with the firms, we met with you know, certainly we started with the big four firms, but then we probably met an additional 15 firms, many of them in the major firm group, would be the largest 100 firms in the country. But then we also met with a number of smaller firms as well to try and get a broad input of how they view how technology has impacted the newly licensed practice. And that's very much the focus we've had here. Our last practice analysis was a much broader based practice analysis, and it really gave us a great foundation for what we're doing right now. Having that very good foundation, we said, let's just step back and see across all four sections of the exam, what's the impact of technology and how is that changing what newly licensed CPAs do in protecting the public interest.
Can you tell me some more about what happens during these meetings?
Yeah, so we had an opportunity to meet with the firms, and typically we met with people in the audit methodology groups, as well as people from the firm's training groups as well. We think in terms of methodology, those people are probably best focused on what's happening in the actual practice on performing audits. Meeting with the firms, we're focused with them on what changes do they see, and that's the methodology people. We're also focused on the training people, because the training people have the direct contact with the young staff, and they're kind of a go-between, if you will, between the methodology, between the national office and the newly licensed. What do the newly licensed need to know? So that's why that's a very important link, as we've met with the firms, that we're meeting with both of those groups. And from that, we have gotten a fair amount of information. Certainly, I would say data analytics is here. Its implementation has varied among the firms, but we've learned a lot about different aspects of data analytics. Another thing that has come out of the work in our meetings with the firms that has then driven some of our research further down as we got into focus groups was that the use and reliance on SOC reports, service organization control reports, has significantly increased over the last couple of years. I retired from Ernst & Young back in 2014. And just since that time, there's been a significant increase in reliance on SOC reports. So this is something new, and we're stepping back and understanding, okay, how does that impact what we need to assess on the exam?
What did you do with the information that you got from the firms?
In terms of what we've heard from the firms, as I said, the increased reliance on SOC reports has been driven by their clients who are relying more on software as a service, or they're storing their data in a cloud at this point in time. So that has driven that change. Now, what have we done with the information that we received from the firms? We worked with AIR. AIR, the American Institute for Research, is our consulting firm that we're working with. So we put together 8 focus groups to deal specifically the impact of technology on newly licensed CPA practice. And the questions that those focus groups dealt with were driven by the information we obtained from the firms. And so that gave us further insight into how this is more broadly impacting the profession, because the focus groups, we probably had more than 100 people participate in those focus groups. We had one focus group of individuals from the big 4 firms. Then we had multiple focus groups of large firm practice. We had one focus group of people who work in business and industry. And then we had another that was primarily comprised of regulators. But all of the people who participated in the focus groups, though, there was a requirement that they directly supervise newly licensed CPAs. So they, again, have a very good vision of exactly what newly licensed CPAs are doing. So that was very helpful to us to take and what we heard from the firms and understand, okay, now as we bring this out more broadly, how is this actually being operationalized in newly licensed practice? So we got some good insight there. So that was very helpful. And again, I think what we've heard has been, yes, data analytics is very important. Another thing we heard is understanding business processes, kind of from the front to the back. So whether you're starting with a sales order process, you start at the sales order and trace that all the way through till the cash is collected from the accounts receivable. And looking at that, what happens along the entire route of those transactions, being able to follow the data, as well as understanding where systems and information systems support the data throughout that entire series of transactions. So that was very helpful to us as part of this learning process. And so that's another one of the areas that we've seen coming forward where technology is having an impact.
So besides technology, are there other areas of the exam that the practice analysis looked at?
There is another aspect of the practice analysis. Up till now, we've talked about the technology. Another thing we're looking at on the exam is, has the exam gotten too broad? Over the years, every time we've changed the exam, everybody wants to add this and add that and add some more. So we've challenged ourselves and said, all right, has the exam gotten too broad? The exam's absolutely fair, legally defensible, statistically valid, but is it, fair, quite honestly, to the candidates, the huge body of knowledge that we expect them to know? So we've taken back, and another aspect of what we've done in working with AIR has been to conduct what we call ranking panels of the content on the exam, trying to understand what's most important and what's least important to the work of newly licensed CPAs. Not that it's unimportant, but what's least important so that we can focus on what's most important, quite honestly, and also to make some room for the additional matters we'd like to work on in terms of adding the technology assessment. So that aspect has also been going on. So we've kind of had two parallel paths, one on the technology and the other to increase the focus on what's most important on the exam. Over the next month, we're going to have, we've gone through this with our various volunteer committees. We have a volunteer committee aligned with each section of the exam. They've gone through the preliminary results from those two different processes, and we'll be meeting with our board of examiners, in fact, next week to share the preliminary results there. That will go to confirmation panels. They'll be conducted mid to late October and early November. And from those confirmation panels, that will give us the materials that will go into the exposure draft.
What are your next steps?
As I mentioned earlier, the exposure draft will be out before the end of the year. And we're looking to have a comment period of through April 30th on that to help people get through tax season and still be able to comment on the changes we would like to make to the exam. And then based on that, we'll step back and say, okay, now, given all of that, given the comment responses, how do we revise the blueprint to reflect all of those changes? And those blueprint changes will probably be out, sometimes towards the latter part of 2020 or January 1, 21 at the latest, I'm sure.
Can you explain what an exposure draft is?
Sure. So the exposure draft is a document that will go out to the general public, but presumably I think we would normally expect to get comments from firms and from the regulators, NASBA and the state boards of accountancy, possibly PCOB, Public Company Accounting Oversight Board, or the Securities and Exchange Commission. And what it's going to do, it will lay out the changes that we propose to make to the exam, and they will have an opportunity to weigh in and, you know, agree, yes, this makes sense, or, you know, we're a little bit concerned about this. Have you considered this? And we'll take all of those comments, as I said, through April 30th, consider them, and then take all of that information, all of the research we've done, as well as the comments, and determine how to revise the exam accordingly.
You said there was some concern that the exam is too broad. Are you going to be considering dropping any topic areas?
Well, there clearly, I think, will be some areas where we de-emphasize. And there may be some, you know, I would say relatively narrow topics that we do look to remove from the exam. Just because it may be that they are not as important as they once were. Or that there are other items that are more important to be assessed for newly licensed in their role to protect the public interest.
How might this change the exam, or is it too early to tell?
Well, the changes we're initially proposing right now, I think we'll see an increased assessment of data analytics. One of the expectations, and we've already done a fair amount of research already in the area of data analytics and what is newly licensed practice in that area. So I'm quite confident that we will see task-based simulations added to the exam related to data analytics, primarily in the audit section initially. And one of the things these new task-based simulations will require would be the use of Excel to come to a solution. So to give an example, there may be a task-based simulation, and there might be a couple of data sets included in an Excel workbook as an exhibit to that task-based simulation. And candidates would need to take that those data sets and do some type of functions with those data sets, and whether it be sort or filter or potentially run a VLOOKUP to try and get to the particular solution in response to the questions. We will have questions focused on the completeness of the data and the reliability of the data. I mean, it's very critical as part of an audit that the data one is using is complete and reliable. If that's not the case, you're not going to get good answers out of that data. So that will clearly be, you know, part of the task-based simulation. But then people may be looking for particular anomalies. It might be, you know, are there duplicate check numbers? Are there check numbers that have been missed? It could be looking at trends of data. Is there, you know, some particular item within this data set that is an anomaly that just stands out that requires further investigation? So that's clearly something that's going to be coming, and I could see that coming, you know, probably a little bit earlier than even the conclusion of the practice analysis, given the work that we've already done in that area.
When would any changes to the exam take place?
We might see a revised blueprint as early as April 1 of 2020, and start assessing data analytics using Excel on the exam in October 1st of 2020. That's certainly dependent. We're going to have to make some software changes to the exam that will be dependent on the successful implementation of those software changes. As I was saying, we expect the comments by the end of April on the exposure draft and resulting in a blueprint, let's say, on January 1st of 21, reflecting the changes that we've seen there. And if the blueprint comes out on January 1 of 21, Normally, we allow 6 months to implement those changes. So the changes would actually be operational on the exam beginning July 1st of 21.
That was Rich Gallagher, CPA, Senior Director of Content for the AICPA Examinations Team. For more information on the CPA exam, go to aicpa.org/CPA exam. This has been the Journal of Accountancy podcast. Thank you for listening.
This podcast is designed to provide illustrative information with respect to the subject matter covered and does not represent an official opinion or position of the AICPA or AICPA.org. It is provided with the understanding that the AICPA and AICPA.org are not engaged in offering legal, accounting, or other professional service. If such advice or expert assistance is required, the services of a competent professional person should be sought. The AICPA and AICPA.org make no representations, warranties, or guarantees as to, and assume no responsibility for, the content or application of the material contained herein, and especially disclaim all liability for any damages arising out of the use of, reference to, or reliance on such material.